We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Scott Braun, MLB Network. The Indians are going to be on Facebook tomorrow. The game is going to be exclusively on Facebook tomorrow's game. Right, Scott? You'll be calling the game?
That is correct. The game is on Facebook. It is, what, the last Twins-Indians game of the season, so we're excited for it. We did this Twins-Indians in Minnesota a few weeks back,
right.
So I'm well-versed on both squads.
Hey, Scott, how have the Facebook games been going? How have they been received by the fans?
Awesome. So I think two things to keep in mind. Yeah. Number one, it's access for some fans who wouldn't have access to a Major League Baseball game, and that goes globally. So some of the feedback that we get is from people that are chiming in from, you name it, whatever country, because they all can get to Facebook, and it's free once you log in. So all you have to do is type MLB Live in the search bar. They get it. So a lot of it I see after the game, the feedback from people saying, hey, it's so cool to watch this game from whatever. Also, obviously, we see it during the game when someone checks in the comments section. Hey, I'm watching from Greece. I'm watching from a boat in the middle of the ocean, et cetera. And then number two is, I think, just which we've talked about before, the way that we can go back and forth with fans, not only with the broadcasters in the booth, but then also with the guests that we have, which I think is really neat. Especially look at a game like this. This is a perfect scenario. The Twins are out of it. The Cleveland Indians are in great shape, obviously. They're cruising through the division. They're already getting their mindset for the postseason. This is a great game to have either a manager or a coach on, which we'll do from both sides, plus a player or two, and do an interview with them during a half inning or during a break between, obviously, if it's the manager. So to get kind of a litmus test or to get kind of an update, I should say, on how the team's been doing and stuff like that, and just get fans to ask questions that we can relay over to people is really neat. So it's like a good little chat.
Yeah.
And the discussion is through the fans more so than what we're coming up with. We have some stuff that we come up with that we throw out there, but fans also kind of dictate where we want to go in terms of our conversations.
And it'll be, what, John McDonald and Glenn Perkins on the call with you?
Yes, that is correct. I have not worked with John McDonald yet, although on the conference call he sounded like he knew everything Indians baseball left and right. And then I know Glenn Perkins knows his stuff because he's been with the Twins. He was up until this past season forever. So, and he was really good when we did the game with him last time. It was the first game he ever did. It was exactly the way you should do a game when you're doing one for the first time. Just sit back and talk baseball and really don't worry about much else. That's what he did. So, yeah, I'm excited.
And the game again tomorrow, 1:10 on Facebook, and it's Jake Odorizzi and Mike Clevenger will be pitching in the game. Indians have a game tonight. Scott, bad news for the Indians. You say it's great in the division. You're right. I mean, the division's over. It's been over for a while. Covering the Indians from us right now is almost like covering a basketball team. Like, we knew, like, every year when LeBron was here, we knew the Cavs were in the playoffs. So it wasn't like any drama of would they make it, and that's You don't usually see that in baseball, but that's where we're at with the Indians, which is good. But on the other hand, you got Bauer on the DL. We don't know he's going to be back. And now Miller on the DL for the third time. They need those two guys, Scott.
I agree. I think they need both of them to be a World Series champion team. So on the starting rotation side, I mean, Trevor Bauer, you can make the case that, right, he's better than Kluber this year.
He has been.
Results, and even in terms of his stuff. And he's always had that there, and he finally put it all together. So obviously he's bummed. I'm not going to play doctor. I can't do that. But, I mean, I would imagine, I think, based on reports, that Trevor Bauer will come back, even if it's at the very end of the season / into the postseason. Andrew Miller, from what I've seen, I just got just flew in, so I was on an airplane, and we were delayed, actually, in the air for a while. But what I looked at quickly before I called you guys, I mean, they're saying it's not that big of a deal. And here's the luxury that Cleveland has that's so clutch for them, is that they don't have to worry about competitive games. They haven't had to do that with Miller all year. And Andrew Miller, actually, if you go way back to his time with the Yankees, came back a little early once or twice from injuries. He's learned, and also the Indians are in a better situation that they can make a case to him saying, hey, listen, you've done this in the past. You've come back too early sometimes. And also, we're in cruise control, so it doesn't matter. So if we need to spend an extra week, it's all good. Obviously, you want him to be sharp. That makes a difference. But if it's going to take a little extra time, you do have still a month plus before the playoffs start. I mean, the only thing is, the Indians are used to this at this point. Andrew Miller gets used a lot. It's not like he's fragile. It's just that he's used so frequently for so many years now. We're just looking over this with research. So the Indians have played 188 games going back to August 2nd of last season, and he's missed 109 of them. So 58% of those games from four disabled list stints. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter as long as he's good to go by playoff time. But he's usually rusty when he first comes back, I imagine. So, you know, want to see more bite on the slider, all that kind of stuff. But it would be nice. It really doesn't matter. I mean, if he misses 2 weeks and then he's back for the last couple weeks of the season to get going and pitch in the postseason, it's not the worst thing in the world, because a lot of the times, right, it's a knee injury here. You know, obviously this time it's a shoulder, which is a little more concerning. But a lot of the times it's good for him to just get a break because he pitches too much.
Do you have any faith? Pure speculation on your part, our part, but we're a little concerned that even if he does come back, that he might not be the same or even close to what he was in 2016.
And he hasn't been,
It's so tough to say. I mean, I actually do have faith that he'll come back and he'll be the same guy and he'll battle through it, even if he's not, say, 100%. I mean, obviously you want to get him there as close as possible. I feel like once we get to playoff time, the adrenaline for him and just the way that he's been a big game pitcher in the past, I mean, I trust him. Obviously, the velocity numbers you're going to look at, and it is what it is. But I don't know. I just for some reason have faith that the Indians aren't lying to us, saying that this is, you know, a minor injury, but it's really not, and that he's actually going to take his time and he's going to come back and be in good shape. And if that's the case, guys, obviously, let's say even if Andrew Miller's 80% of what he's been in the postseason in the past, then when you have hand pitching like he has, I mean, I think the bullpen, even though it might not be as deep, it's quality over quantity this year.
I guess my concern is that even when he's been healthy this year, you know, the numbers, you look at the numbers across the board, especially the advanced numbers, they're the worst since at least 2013, some categories, 2012, 2011. The strikeouts are down. The hits are up. You know, the ERA plus is not what it's been. The, you know, all these things, Scott. And that's what has me concerned. Plus, Allen has been lousy.
Yeah, Allen, right. Allen has been going through a really cold stretch here, but he's usually streaky. And isn't Cody Allen like this, where he has that one terrible month, and then it's like, oh, we totally forgot about it?
He does, but not this bad. He hasn't been this bad in the bad stretch in the past. It hasn't lasted this long.
You're right. And on Cody Allen, too, I mean, I did dig into some numbers with him. It is the worst year for him career-wise. The real problem is the home run ball. He's giving his home run for him. Terrible. Strikeouts are down a little bit. Walks are up a little bit. So all of those things are not great. But yeah, in the past, right, it's been that one bad month. I guess it's stretched out a little more. I mean, here's the problem with relievers. The Indians have actually been lucky in the fact that those two have been so good for such a long period of time, because most relievers are flash in the pan status. I mean, there are very few that last like this. So, I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know how they're going to look a month from now. I do feel like Cody Allen, again, let's say Cody Allen is not exactly what he has been in the past, but he's close.
Right.
Andrew Miller's thing. I'm just so into what I've seen from Brad Hand. I watched him, yesterday again.
Yeah.
He's been so good. I know it's not just going to be one guy that's going to will them all the way. But, I mean, him, and then I figure, what, maybe Shane Bieber's going to move to the bullpen once we get to playoff time if Trevor Bauer comes back. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I could see it being more of a strength than a weakness for them. I feel like Allen and Miller, I feel like they'll both be back playoff time. Maybe I'm just being optimistic.
I like it.
I'm good.
We like the optimism, Scott. Scott Braun with us, MLB Network. You know, and you talk about Bieber moving to the bullpen, and he's done a nice job. Hopefully, Francona, and we love Francona. I mean, he's the best, but I thought he made a critical error last year, only going with three starters in the playoffs. And, you know, the way Clevinger's pitched, there's just no reason to do it. It makes no sense to pitch Bauer or Kluber on 3 days rest as opposed to pitching Clevinger. I wouldn't understand why he'd do that. He did it last year.
Yeah, he won't do that again.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I mean, I can't say for sure. I'll probably have a much better idea, something I'll probably ask him tomorrow when I'm with him for the manager meeting. But I can't imagine, based on the fact that Trevor Bauer will be coming back, if he's back, he's back in that range, so you're not going to push there. And then also, it was weird. I mean, obviously, Kluber not going game one. I got every indication. I don't know if you guys – I'm sure you guys talked about this a million times, but that – Corey Kluber was hurt at the end of the season.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, the quote that I remember was, quote, fighting a lot, was what Tito said. And fighting a lot to me means hurt. So he didn't start game one. It's super unconventional. It worked out in the first game, obviously, but 9 runs and 6 in the 3rd. I don't know. He just didn't look the same. New York was fouling off so many pitches that usually just doesn't happen for Corey. So I don't think he's hurt this year, so that's a good sign. But yeah, they don't need to. So go 4 starters. It just makes no sense not to otherwise.
Right.
So that's what they'll do, as long as Bauer's back.
Is there a move that could still be made by the Indians that could actually help them?
An outfielder. Let's get one more outfielder, right? What about...
Ooh. Who do you like?
McCutcheon would... McCutcheon. Mm-hmm.
Why not? He's getting traded, in my mind. There are some teams now that have said, okay, just like I've been reading all about Donaldson, as long as he's feeling okay. I mean, the Blue Jays are trading him at all costs.
They scratched him today, though, Scott. I saw that.
He's feeling soreness. So they're still going to try and move him, though, regardless. They're going to hope that some team's going to take a risk and see if he can get himself right over the next month or so for a playoff squad. So, yeah, I did see that. It's a shame. I still think they're going to try and move him. And I think it's almost a guarantee that Andrew McCutcheon gets moved. It's probably more just a matter of, I don't remember exactly how much money he has left for the rest of the season. It's probably like $3-4 million due to him. So it's just a matter of how much money a team will take on because it makes no sense for him to be on the Giants at this point.
Right.
And with Leonis Martin, last time I was doing this game, Martin looked really good when he first stepped up. Obviously, the medical issue has been, you know, a real shame for him. And Greg Allen has looked really good. I'd still love to have a little more depth in the outfield, though. And Andrew McCutcheon is, I think, a clutch player. I think he would thrive in this atmosphere. I don't think the Giants, while they've been competitive, I think this would be an even better spot for him where he could really take command in the outfield and have a good time and be in that mix. So Adam Jones was a possibility in my mind, but I actually like McCutcheon better in that spot anyway. Jones doesn't want to go anywhere. He's not going to waive his no-trade clause. So keep an eye on McCutcheon. It's more just a matter of money. Like if the Indians either are going to give up a prospect, it wouldn't be somebody big, or they're going to actually – I think the Giants are trying to move as much of the contract as possible to stay under this luxury tax number. The Giants are right around that range. So it just depends on if the Indians – say there's four left. If the Indians are going to take, say, $2.5 million of that, which I think they should, because I think they should be fully stacked and loaded for a run like
Agreed. You know, it's amazing. You know, I know Oakland lost a heartbreaker. Astros had a walk-off win, but – what a job, Bob Melvin. For that team to be 26 over 500 with that pitching staff is insane.
Every single day for the last, like, 2 weeks, I've been saying the same thing.
It's crazy.
How are they doing this? And when I say that, I mostly mean it with the rotation, because the offense is good enough. They're young. They're talented. They have a ton of fly balls. There's a lot of power in that offense. Relief pitching, great. It's one of the better bullpens in baseball, and they've added. But it's the lowest opening day payroll in baseball, so that's a great story. It's probably even a better story than when you go back to some of the other epic, you know, Oakland A's teams. Like, for example, the 2002 team, they had the third lowest payroll, and they had Tim Hudson, Barry Zito, Mark Mulder, etc. I mean, this team is rolling out Edwin Jackson, Trevor Cahill, guys that were on minor league deals that were sitting at – Anderson and Cahill were working out, sitting at home together. They get a call sometime in March to step up, and obviously Anderson's on the disabled list now. That's the risk you get. So here's the problem. So I did keep saying this with Oakland. I said, I can't believe they're doing this with that rotation, although they're mostly guys that pitch to contact ground balls and their defense is exceptional, so that works. But eventually, I don't trust Brett Anderson over a long period of time. Now he goes down with an injury. Sean Manaea looks like he could be out for the year. So I'm very curious to see how this next month goes. Did they even – I think almost no chance they win the division. I think that's Houston's. But – did they build enough separation that they can escape from Seattle, because they've created some separation now in Seattle at a bad loss to the Padres last night? So that'll be curious. I could see it getting really tight between those two teams just based on the fact that Oakland's starting rotation is the ultimate patchwork job.
Who you got in the World Series right now, Scott?
Oh, so at the beginning of the year, I picked the Astros to win it again. So I'll stick with that. Even though I think Houston and I'm sure Boston can put up a fight with them just as much. And I think that Houston's still the favorite in Vegas, but and Boston, here's the problem. I mean, I trust Houston's bullpen more than I trust Boston. Boston's bullpen's been pretty rough lately. And still, there's a difference between a bullpen in the regular season and in the postseason. You trust many less arms. The game is played differently. So right now, I don't love the way that Boston's bullpen is stacked up. So I'm going Houston on that side. Right now, if I have to pick, I'm going Cubs on the other end, but I'll pick Houston to win it all. I think Chicago, the addition of Cole Hamels, he's like last year's Justin Verlander right now. Velocity's up. They had him switch his pitch mix. He's totally found it. He could not pitch in Texas. He doesn't have to deal with that anymore. So I think Chicago's also getting a ton of players back. And the Daniel Murphy thing was ridiculous. The fact, I mean it in a good
nuts.
Way for Chicago.
Yeah, nuts.
The fact that every other team didn't claim him in the National League, every other team didn't put in a claim, even to block them, like a Colorado or an Arizona, where I actually think they could have used him anyway. So the Cubs, rich get richer. So I'll put those two in there.
Scott, good stuff, man. Everybody watch Facebook Live tomorrow, 1:10, Indians taking on the Twins. Scott will have the call along with John McDonald, along with Glenn Perkins, and you can interact. It's gonna be awesome. Can't wait. Thanks, Scott.
Adam, Dustin, great talking to you. We'll talk again soon.
You too, Scott. Right. Thanks, buddy.
You too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.